We are ready to open our Bibles and start a study. James chapter 4, verse 4 is where we are going to eventually end up. And I would like to start there just to give you an introduction to what we're going to study tonight. Now, for those of you who are here tonight with us, generally I am not an outline type person to pass out pages. However, 2 weeks ago we started a little series on dealing with temptations. And in this little study, I realized that there was so much material in dealing with temptations that there was way more than we could actually do in one lesson, particularly on a Wednesday night, because Wednesday night is encourage the folks that are here and so faithful. But you know something, we are all inundated with temptation. And so I went ahead and considered all the things that we would have to discuss, and there were like 7 or 8 lessons that really come from this. And so what I've done is give you these handouts because it's important not only to study these things, but to remember what you've studied. And one of the best ways to do that is to look at the verses and fill in a few blanks concerning those verses because it will jog your memory as to what you've been learning. Now, how many of you can remember the first lesson that we did on dealing with temptation? What did it concern? What aspect of temptation? Okay, this project is working. All right, the flesh is one, and that was actually last week, and the mind was, somebody said the mind, and that was the one from the week before. So we looked, first of all, at dealing with temptation and how those temptations affect our minds, and the second we did was actually studying the flesh, okay, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and how those things are affected by temptation. And in the study of the mind, now everybody's looking at, don't look at the outline. I'll tell you when you can look at the outline. Look at the outline. Look at me. No. Some people look at that, they're like, oh, I got to finish this. And then where are you going to go when class isn't over? Drink coffee? Anyway, so in dealing with the mind, we saw this. We have a carnal mind that we have, comes with the equipment. We got it from Adam. We get saved, we have a spiritual mind, all right? And you are not going to succeed in dealing with temptation in the carnal mind. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God pulling down strongholds. You have to be a spiritually minded person. And as you become a spiritually minded person, then suddenly certain things that used to tempt you in the carnal mind don't have the effect as they used to have. And so it is impossible to please God with a carnal mind. You have to be spiritually minded. And that means mind on spiritual things. And it feeds on the Word of God and things like what we're doing tonight. Now, the flesh and the eyes also are very lustful. And so these things, you have to recognize what they are. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes are areas where you end up having a lot of problems in temptation. And when we get to the lesson on the cross, you're going to find out really and truly, this stinking flesh is incorrigible. May I tell you something? I personally have certain convictions. I have certain things that I live by. You might want to call standards, but may I tell you something about all that? Standards and convictions are like laws. They define boundaries for you, but they do not give you the power to succeed in keeping those things any more than the law did. As a matter of fact, sometimes what they do is they awaken sin like the law awakened sin and said suddenly, hey, you mean I can't do this? And now all of a sudden you want to do it just because it said you can't. And so in dealing with those things, it is better to recognize that the flesh is truly the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the more control the Spirit of God can have over this temple, the better you're going to do against temptation. Okay? Quick summary on those two things. Now we're going to look at dealing with temptation, and our subject today tonight is the world. The world. What about that? And notice in James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, right away you recognize that the world runs contrary to the Lord. Absolutely. And so consequently, Christians who get too close to the world are going to have a harder time with sin than Christians who stay further away from the world, okay? And the reason is because out there in the world, you are continuously exposed to the world philosophy, the world's rudiments, the world's temptations, the world's actions, the world's aspirations, the world's thoughts, And the more of those that you're exposed to and the less you're exposed to the Scripture, the more you're going to fall prey to sin. It's just a natural thing. So we want to study the aspects of the world tonight, make sure that we really understand this. So Randy, lead us in prayer, and we will go right into the study. Amen. 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 All right. Now, we are going to come back to James chapter 4, verse 4, because it really shows us something. And so just keep your finger there if you want to, or use all your fingers to turn. And notice some things about the world. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Something we've got to notice about the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the verse we want, of course, is verse 19. Your outline says, the world is foolish, but look at it from the Scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. See that? For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. All right, so the wisdom, that's your fill in there, of this world is foolishness with God. May I tell you something? The wisdom of this world is celebrated and honored and glorified by the world. Pulitzer Prizes for people who talk about world peace and evolution are what? They're absolutely worthless because neither one of those is attainable. God created this place, and world peace is only attainable by Jesus Christ. And so the Lord looks at all that and he recognizes that what we call wisdom of the world is wisdom, but he recognizes it also as far as he's concerned. He said, that stuff is foolishness. So, you know, it's an amazing thing, but we don't need to run around here and be ignorant, but when you feed on the things that go on in the world and you want to get a good handle on those things, you have to recognize, you know what, if you had a good handle on Jesus Christ, and more importantly, God had a good handle on you, a lot of the things that we concern ourselves in the world wouldn't really matter anyway, because with God, they're foolish. Not only that, but notice the world is temporary. 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 17. So very, very important. Three verses are connected with this little thought here. The world is temporary. And we've seen 1 John chapter 2. In verse 16, concerning the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, but notice verse 17, the world passeth away. The world passeth away. It's not going to be here forever. So when we stake our claim, and we all do it, but we say, you know, people have been, and in the right context, I understand that people have been comprehended. They say, wow, you know, you've got such a great heritage. You have a great ancestor that was a sign of the Declaration of Independence and, you know, four generations of ranching partnership in your family and all that kind of stuff. That's a great heritage. And from the world standpoint, it is. But you know what? It's all going to be gone. It doesn't make any difference how you put it down. It goes away. It's temporary. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I know by the time you get landed in one place and boom, we're off hopping somewhere else, it's like trying to catch a rabbit, you know? Just about the time you think you got your hands on him, phew, he's gone to another verse. But not only is the world going to pass away, but notice this phrasing here of this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, and they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world pass away. Now, what do I have around my neck tonight? A tie. Tell me something about the fashion. All right, what did this thing look like 20 years ago? Wider, big knot. And then after that, it got real skinny, about like that. Now it's going like this. What way do you think it's going? Going to be heading wider again. Collars are turned, you know, that all that stuff. And then think about it in women's clothing. Oh, man, I am so glad that I'm not a woman, because that fashion changes. You know what that's telling you? not only did the fashion change, but you know, no longer, it's here for just a little while and then it's gone. All he's telling you is that thing is temporary. So if a peer group that you're around in the world is pressuring you in a certain philosophy, you can be sure of this, within 5 years, that's going to change. But the Word of God doesn't change. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this world will pass away, but you know what? Heaven and earth pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. You want to line up with something, line up with this book. Matthew 24:3, you don't need to turn there. He just says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of thee, help me, end of the world. It has an end. It has an end. They like to change that to end of the age in the modern Bibles. Let me tell you something. When it talks about the end of the world, he's talking about the world as you know it is not going to ever be like this again when God changed that devil up for 1,000 years. And thank God for it. All right, notice this. Not only is the world foolish and temporary, but the world is evil. The world is evil. Now, some of us who have lived in this world for a little while know that. Some of us who are enamored by the world and still have it all in front of us don't know that. I was talking to a guy today, and he was talking about raising up children in the church and how great that is because they're going to follow some paths, but the paths they have to follow are not like some of the paths we took. And some of them are going to want to try those paths. And I told him, I said, yeah, and you're going to see my footprints buried in some of those paths, but that's only an indication you shouldn't go this way. All right? Galatians 1:4. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So it's very important when you look out there in the world and you say, man, I want to be an engineer, I want to be a scientist, or I want to be a banker, I want to be a lawyer. All good and well in its place if that's what God has for you to do, but you are operating in an evil world. People say to me, they'll say, man, can you believe the outcome of that court decision? Of course. Man, can you believe the what that bank did? Well, of course. Why? You're in an evil world. It's surprising when it's not bad. Okay? That's what's surprising. To deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So it's very important to remember that. And I've never thought about this until I put this lesson together. The world is worth less than the value of one soul. Mark 8:36. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And God says the loss of that soul is worse than the profit gained by gaining the whole world. And I never put it in that context. Listen, we get so enamored about, you know, growing our bank accounts. And, you know, I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, so I'm, you know, not... I know the territory I'm on. You guys, I'd be like preaching to the choir, but the thing is, you know, people that get allured by the acquisition of possessions and the accumulation of more things and so forth, let me tell you, is not as much value as spiritual things. And they trip you up. They trip you up. All right? And finally, as far as this definition of our world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Look who's in charge. Look who's in charge. The devil is in charge, and he is called, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is called the God of this world. People say all the time, said, if God is any kind of God at all, why is he allowing these things to happen? Because the man in charge right now is not a one that does anything but practices evil. How did he treat Job? Badly. Very, very badly. Remember when Jesus Christ was here, I didn't give you the reference, but in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus Christ was here, he was being tempted by the devil, and the devil took him up to a high mountain to show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. What did the devil say about his power concerning those kingdoms? All of this power and glory is given unto me. It's mine. And I can give it to whomsoever I will. So if you bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. And the devil could have done it. He had the power to do it. It was not an idle offer. He's in charge. People say, Well, I just don't know why our country's going in the direction it does. When you start following a world path and get away from God, and the worldview changes, then this is the consequence. The devil gets in there and takes charge of your leadership, and when he takes charge of your leadership, he brings your country to its knees. All right, now, you would imagine then these definitions of the world, that the world and the Lord are opposed, and in fact they are. Look in John chapter 14. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. All right? We just heard a sermon on nothing. Okay? On Sunday night. And it was good. Busy doing nothing. Okay? That word nothing is very important. He says, without me, Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. How much do the devil and Jesus Christ have in common? The prince of this world cometh and hath how much in me? Nothing. You know what they are? They are mutually exclusive. You remember that from mathematics when you were a kid? Mutually exclusive. They run in two completely different realms. You read James 4:4 already. We don't need to go back there. I said we would, but in the essence of time, we won't. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to be an enemy of God? You say, well, I want to get along with folks in the world. Then choose, because he said, whoever's not with me is against me. And whoever's against me scattereth abroad. So you've got to make a choice. Listen, we've got a few young people in here. The rest of them are back there with Tony or back there. You know, I guess that's all we got going on tonight, right? Tony, in the teen room, I'm going to tell you something. We talk about peer pressure, that's world. That's world. And when you cave to peer pressure, you are going away from God. They are opposed. They are opposed. Ephesians 2:2. This is the condition you and I were in before we got saved. Ephesians 2:2. All right, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, notice, wherein in time past, I'll give you time to get there. I don't mean to keep running off. Somebody told me one time, said, you know what, I used to turn to the Bible whenever you said, but just the time I got to the passage, you were leaving it. I was like trying to catch a bus on a transfer, you know. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. All right, which way is the earth turning? Like this, right? Going like this. Yeah, it's going this way. All right? When the sun rises, you get a picture. The earth is turning this way. The sun goes by like this. They're running in the opposite direction. They're not running together, otherwise the sun would be shining on the same place all the time. Or the days would not be the way they are. They're opposed to each other, in essence. You say, well, one's not moving. It may not be, but the thing is, they are contrary. So as you think about this lesson and you think about the world, just remember, anytime you look up at the sun and you see that it was there and now it's there, that the world is running contrary to the sun. What we need to do is we need to line up with the Lord Jesus Christ, who typifies the sun, not with the world, who is going in an opposite direction. Okay? And that's the course of this world. The course of the world will take you off course. Now, let me ask you, here we have a clock. This clock was not part of the demonstration tonight, but it will do. All right, pretend for a minute that this is a compass. That would be what? It's 12 o'clock noon, so that would be north. This down here would be south. What would this be? West. This would be east, the three, like an E. Okay, that's the way that compass would be, right? All right, now if I had to go along the line that you see pointing to the 12 in order to get to heaven, where would I end up if I went on any other vector than the one you see? I would be what? Off course. Jesus Christ, when he was here, said that the way into eternal life is what kind of way? A narrow way. All right, and the course of this world is a broad way. All right, well, you have 360 degrees on a compass. This is zero or 360 right here. Everything else, 359 other offers, will get you off course. And if you have a long way to travel between the point where you start, which is right here on that button, if you have a long way to travel, you are going to be way off course. You guys that shoot guns know exactly like that. You get just a little radius off, and you're not going to hit your target if it's any distance at all away. Okay? So you got to remember, the course of this world is not 180 out in an opposite direction. It's everything but the right way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's 360. That's zero. Everything else is off course. People say, all the religions of the world lead to the same place. They do. They're all off course, and they all lead to hell. See? So it's very, 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 very important to remember that course. You know, people say, well, I'm not running that far off. I'm just a little out of line with God. You start out a little out of line with God, you're going to end up way out of line with God. You understand it? Okay, so that's what's going on here. And because the world is opposed to the Lord, then the world is also opposed to us. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. You say, well, I'm not feeling much of that opposition right now. Well, it may be that you're not right tight on 360 yet. John chapter 17, now look at verse 14. This is Jesus Christ praying to his Father. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. And he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You know what's happened in the church today? The church has brought the world inside, and there's no distinction. And that's why everybody's getting along fine. There's nobody really up in arms about, you know, turn the world upside down. That's what they said about the disciples when they came into town. They don't really say that much about Christianity today. Why? We're too much like the world. We couldn't turn it upside down if we wanted to. Not opposed enough. Okay, so what are we to do then? What instructions should we have about this? Well, there's three verses in the next thing, and then we'll be wrapped up on this section. The first thing is found back in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, we're given very, very specific instructions. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the things. What? All of it that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is, this is very important, what? Not in him. That's a hard verse of Scripture when you think about it in the context of what we've studied tonight. We are casual in our conversation, and we all do this. We'll say, I love tennis, or I love fishing, or I love hunting, or I love shopping, or I love shopping, or maybe I love shopping, I don't know. Yeah. And everybody that's in here understands that none of us would say that and mean we love that equal to what we love Jesus Christ, or equal or even greater than we love the Lord Jesus Christ. No way, not with this crowd. You love the Father, but when he says, He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, using the world, but not abusing the world. We got to be careful with that, what we say. Because the thing is, we may find ourselves lined up with it more than we thought we were. Okay? It should not affect a Christian one bit if all the malls close and all that other stuff happens. It shouldn't affect us one way or the other. That's not what we live for. shouldn't really affect us if the business climate is up or down, the economy is good or bad. Shouldn't really affect us. That's not what we live for. We live for one thing, 360. Let your conversation be on things above, you know, let your affection be on things above and not on things on the earth. We're going one direction. If it all falls to pieces here, we knew that was coming anyway. So what's the big deal? We don't live for this. Not supposed to anyway. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. People say, oh, well, got out of high school. Oh, they got to have a college education. Do they really? Seriously? I mean, now that may be the Lord's will, and if it is the Lord's will, by all means. But don't do it just because the world says every kid that gets out of high school has to go to college. That's not true. That's the world philosophy. They will eat your children for supper and spit them out, wasted, unless they're in there by God's will and they stay strong in the family and strong in the church and strong in their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells you why. And you know the first part because we quote this often, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It grieves me. I could have said this earlier. It grieves me when I see our folks going with the fashion of the world. Okay, I have never understood. I'll just say, I mean, you know, preacher, why are you picking on that? Pick on anything. You get up here and you give your pet peeve. By the time we've covered it, we might have covered it all. Okay? But it grieves me that somebody would go and pay good money to buy a brand new pair of jeans that are ripped all to shreds. There's... I'm old now and I don't understand that, okay? That doesn't compute with me. So if you've done it, it just doesn't compute with me. Just attribute it to old age. But you know what? I know that that's the fashion of the world. And that's conforming our image to the world when he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind is being transformed, it's going to affect a transformation throughout that says, you know what? I don't care if the world is going in that direction. That's not the direction I go. Okay? And then he says in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, I didn't build a soapbox out of everything I could have named, okay? I just, that one came to mind. Titus chapter 2, verse 12, what are we to do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I'm going to tell you, the world does not live soberly, righteously, and godly. Nothing you see out there is sober, righteous, and godly. And so the only people who are going to be able to represent that is we. We're the only ones who can do it. They cannot do that because they don't have godliness and they don't have righteousness. Righteousness comes from whom? Jesus Christ. You got to have him to have righteousness. That the biblical righteousness in this present world. So don't let the world, that's the easy way to deal with temptation is get in this Bible and read how God defines things and go with God. And when you see the world going a certain direction, just stay away from it. Somebody sent me an email the other day and was talking about certain things that are acceptable in the world that have become acceptable in Christianity. And one of the comments I made in the email is, because the world has gone after this so voraciously, I stand against it. Only because the world has taken a charge after it. It's a direction I don't want to go. Okay? Helpful? Okay. Want it to be helpful. And like I said, I'm not an outline kind of guy. I like us communicating more with our eyeballs and our hearts, but there's too much information to try to do it any other way. So is this okay? Is this working out well for you? Amen. All right. Well, we just want to be sure about that. Father, thank you so much tonight for an opportunity to get a good look at the world. Now, we got to look at it not by all the glitz and glamour that they give us in their advertising. We got to look at it the way you see it. And completely different view. I pray, Heavenly Father, for this group, your children. that we will stand with you. And when that means standing with you against the world and therefore the world standing against us, I pray we'll have the guts and courage to not give in, but to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.